Okay. So, as you said, our sogya enters into not fundamentally what it starts with, what we discuss in Chabez, which is the fundamental problems of partnerships with non-Jews. But as is often the case in the Gemara, her Gemara starts backwards, right? And the Gemara starts with the outline case, which is, let's say you have come up with a case in which you have solved everything from a formal perspective, but people won't know that you've solved it because Nikrate al Shemo, right? The Merchatz case.
Does that mean you didn't solve everything? Because then that's Marzayin.
Correct. I mean, you've solved everything besides from Marzayin. I mean, you've solved all the fundamental problems in terms of the Jew benefiting from work, the non-Jew working on behalf of the Jew. All that stuff has been solved. But people looking in will say, oh, that is a non-Jew working on behalf of the Jew, and that is usher. Even though it's not, you've solved all the problems, right? You've done everything right. You've checked all the boxes according to every single shita that we did last week, right? Every single one, you've checked the boxes. Can it? Yes. When is it still usher because of Marzayin? Right? That was what the Argamara really opens
with.
So
there was two types of Marzayin.
We talked a little bit, yes, about different types of Marzayin and Chshad. And we, when necessary, we will draw on those terms more specifically. But for the moment, let's just, you know, we'll talk about it more generically, okay? Good. So in addition to our Gemara, right, there are two main Gemaras on this topic. One is ours in Avodah Zarah, right, which is you can never rent out a merchatz to a non-Jew, Vipination Nikrit al Shemo, right, because even when you rent it out and the non-Jew is really working for himself, everyone will say that still Nachum's bathhouse, right? This is where Nachum made his fortune for his 11 houses.
12 houses is just a bathhouse now?
Well, yeah, well, the fortune that allowed him to buy all those houses was that he did a very successful bathhouse.
I think I should open up a bathhouse.
Yeah, it's a bathhouse, spa, you know.
Everything.
The Gansa Maisa. You know, and it's called Nachum Spa. Fine, there you go.
So, an original name.
So even if Nachum says, you know what, I have my millions and millions of dollars in my 12 houses, I don't need any more money, right? I'm good. So you know what, I'm just not worth the time of making, and I'm just going to rent out the space, and whatever money comes in, but fine, right? So he rents it out to Luke, right? Our good friend Luke.
It's a good friend.
Right? What's the problem?
It looks like I don't know Luke has the business now.
Correct, because now people don't know it's Luke. They look in and they say, oh, it must be that Nachum hired himself a new manager.
You have to change Nachum's spot to Luke's spot.
Correct. Like I've told you this story before, right? But in Toronto, the problem for years was that there was a bakery which had, you know, I think it originally opened as a kosher bakery, and then it was... But I'm not even sure. And then it was... But by the time I was in Toronto anyways, it was totally not kosher. No hefter, no nothing. But it's called Hamish Bakery. Right? Right? This is a problem, right? It leads to mistaken assumptions. Right? The day of my wedding, a bunch of people went into Hamish Bakery. It's like, oh, that must be kosher. Right? And then like some firm person saw them like, no! Hamish Bakery is treif.
That's pretty funny.
Which it is. I heard...
What if the person just like dumbfounded? Most people of the community knew that the business switched over to a goy or reverse. It became.
But that's the thing is that we're worried that they don't, right? People don't.
But to what extent?
How many people? How many normal people look at Hamish and Bakery and say, "Oh, that must be Christopher's"? Like, who looks at that?
Nobody.
You own Hamish and Bakery, and you see that someone behind you see Christopher behind the, by the cashier, whatever, cash register, with a big cross on his neck. You'll assume that he works there. He's a manager. You're not going to assume that Chris bought it, right, and maintained the name, you know, Yankala's Hamish Bakery.
Oh, you know, just, I always see signs that says, like, under new management or something.
Correct. So you could, there could be ways of solving it. Now, that's a good point, right, is that with Marzayin in general, because Marzayin, the problem is perception... The way to solve it is
to
change perception. Right. How you change perception? Interesting question. An email might not help because people might not see it. Right? A big sign that says "under new management." Well, no, under new management wouldn't help.
No,
under new ownership. Right?
Right.
With a big X over Nachum's name, Luke. Right? Luke's spa. Right? You know. you know,
changes the ownership. The email wouldn't necessarily work if there was a community email.
You know, Luke Spa feels like Christian paradise. I don't know. Like, do whatever you need that makes people know what you're talking about. Like, I don't know.
I would think it's not Jewish.
Right? So then you'll know,
Luke
Spa, Malcolm sold out.
We swear
right?
There's no Jews here.
Whatever. Right? So, okay. So one Gemara is ours. The second is a Gemara in Moed Katan, which is very unclear. Okay? Look at this. We are combining the two Masechtas you are learning. Have you guys gotten to Yud Beis? You should have, right?
Yeah.
Good. Then you have no problem with this Gemara. Baruch Hashem. Good. I'm going to hold you fully responsible for it. So what does the Gemara say? Let's read it. Good. Nachum, take it away. Since you have read it with... Are you in Reis Klar's group?
I am.
We all are.
Look at that. So your alt Reis Klar is now is being put to the test. And how successful an educator he is.
We know the general concept.
That's totally unfair. Because if he tested me on the Gemara, as I taught you, I would fail. Not my fault, your fault. But just saying.
I think we did it once. He mentioned about Azara. I mean, like, we did know the case, but on the general, like, on the Bekiyas level.
Okay, good.
So, you were like, okay.
Good, on the Bekiyas level. Good. Amar Shmuel.
Shmuel says, Mekable Kibolas.
Mekable Kibolas. What's Kibolas?
It was the field.
It's a contract work, right? Right, a Kablon. Right, so remember, contract work. Contract work is in general.
Paid by the job.
Paid by tax.
Which is? No. Contract work. Paid by the job is mutter. Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Good. So you do know it. There you go. Right?
It's job, not tax.
So now the Gemara says, Bitoch HaTchum.
Usher. Outside, inside the Tchum, inside, let's say, the city. Usher. Chutz LaTchum, outside the Tchum, mutter. It's allowed. To hire the non-Jew. Right. Amar Papa, or Papa says, "V'afilu chutz l'tchum."
Now, what does the Gemara not say here?
Where? From what we just read.
Right. So remember. So what is the machlok going to be? Right. How far have you gotten in these sources?
Using this final word here.
He's about to.
Can you get me my computer back? Yeah. Okay, so good luck getting it through, right? Okay, so, well, first we read the Gemara, but we're going to see the main machlok that we shown him is going to be, what is the Gemara referring to? Is it talking about Shabbos, or is it talking about Avilus?
Right?
Well, that's going to be part of the discussion, right? Or Avilus, Shabbos, Yantif, etc. Okay, good. So, good. Let's continue.
Wait, what did we say the Gemara doesn't say?
It doesn't say what, right? So far, we don't know what it's talking about. It's like there is a case in which it is contract work, right? Within the Tchum, it is Aser. Outside the Tchum, it is Mosher. Good. So, Amar HaPapa.
Even outside the Tchum, Lo Amron, Ela Deleka Masa, Deme Karva Lahasam. Do not say that it's when there are people walking there.
Unless, right, we're only talking where there's no city close to there. But if there's a city close to it,
Usher.
Right, meaning the point is we don't want people to access it, which means it could be your city accessing it, it could be some other city accessing it. Either way, it's a problem.
Right.
And Amar of Misharshia,
if you build something, if you build something,
I mean, God is building it for you. So Amar of Misharshia, v'chilek amasa karv lasam nami.
Even when there is a city,
even there is not a city, leka.
Yes, sorry. Lo amrinon ela b'shabasos v'uveyamim tamer. Do not say this on, except only on Shabbos and Yom Tov. The lo shechiche inche de azle lahasam, because that's because men do not go there
frequently.
People do not walk there frequently. Aval becholosh hamoed, but a hamoed de chashiche de
shechiche
inche de azle lahasam. That people do walk there frequently. Usher, it's not allowed.
But now this Gemara is confusing. Why is it confusing? Right, because what is the context of this entire discussion in the Gemara? What is the context of the entire discussion of the Gemara in Mo'ed and Katan?
Oh, for Chol HaMo'ed?
No.
No, not in general Chol HaMo'ed. It's talking about if you're allowed to,
You've done more content.
Yes.
Avelos. Avelos. Avelut.
Yes.
Morning. Right, that was the context. Morning.
Okay, it's both, really, when you, if you're reading more
Morning. The context was morning. Right, was the prohibition against doing work do it during Shiva.
Oh, you can't do work in Shiva.
It's forbidden.
That's the context, correct? The problem is the Gemara drags in Shabbos and Yontif, which asks, makes all the Rishonim say, wait, what are we talking about here? Are we talking about
Shabbat,
Shabbos, Chol Hamoed, and the like prohibitions? Are we talking about Avelos prohibitions, right? Meaning, is this a conversation that for some unintelligible reason fell into the middle of our discussions of Avelos, but has nothing to do with Avelos, or is it about Avelos?
Well, Shabbos and Chol Hamoed has what to do with Avelos.
Okay, so the question is, what are we? What is being discussed here? Okay, so Rashi understands. So, what's the issue here?
I know what he says. So he says
it's a problem of. Is this an Avelos question or a Shabbos question?
Shabbos
question, good, right? Rashi says, "Kago lulu gomaser liten malachol enachrei bekibolos kidavdi le b'shabbata." The other kuli amri v'amri hayom b'shabbos yavile. Right, so Rashi says the issue is Shabbos. So then, why is it less problematic? So what exactly is the Gemara saying? Let's read it. Let's read it through according to Rashi. Meaning, let's understand the Gemara according to Rashi. What's Rashi saying?
That it's.
Right, so this is how Rashi reads the Gemara. If you have kibolas, right, you have a kablon, which means it's paid by task, which means that fundamentally is the work asur or mutter to be done by a goy on Shabbos.
Mutter.
So, what might make it problematic?
If there's another city.
If not the cities around.
Broadly speaking, what prohibition?
If there's people seeing it.
Which is? Marazai. Good, right? Because they might not know that you paid by task. They might think you paid
by hour,
by day, meaning you paid him as a hired worker rather than by task. Okay? So then Rashi says, however, if it's in the middle of nowhere, so then what?
He'd be allowed to.
Why would he be allowed to? Because it's not a fundamental... Let's spell it out. It's not a fundamental problem because...
You covered all the other ground.
Because you covered everything else because it's a... contract worker, right? And there's no Myra Zion. Why?
There's
nobody there to see it. So Raj says, it's fine. How would you create a problem?
If it's in the city, or
it's close to another city, right? Meaning if it's accessible by people, then it's problematic. And therefore, ironically, which is the most problematic?
If it's in the city.
Chol Hamoed. Right, this is the old riddle, right? What is Usher on Chol Hamoed, but Mutar on Shabbos and Yontif?
This.
Right? This is, if everyone asks you, this is an old yeshivish riddle, right? What is Usher on Chol Hamoed, but Mutar on Shabbos and Yontif? And the answer is, having someone do work for you, contract work for you, on something that other people will understand to be your property, and therefore mistake it as a day worker. So if it's Chol Hamoed, it's Usher, because people will drive out and find it, and therefore it's Usher. But on Shabbos and Yontif, when? As long as it's outside the Tchum of any city.
It won't be a problem.
It is inaccessible, then it's Mutter. There you go. That's your Chumrah, right? That's the thing which is Usher and Chol Hamoed, but Mutter and Shabbos and Yontif, right? That's how Rashi reads this Gemara, yes?
You still can't build on Chol Hamoed, or is it stinking? It's just a place, sir? Because you can do usually call it what?
Wouldn't you? We did this, remember?
I know. I'm just thinking.
No, you can't build. No, you can't build.
Right.
That's right.
I always thought.
No, that's it. That's it. You can't build. Remember, that's why I spent. This is our longest year of the entire year.
I'm aware.
We sat straight for an hour and a half. Not over more than one day, over one day.
I might have slept for 15 minutes of that hour and a half.
The 15 minutes were what? Where we said, it is usher to work on Chol Hamoed, that one?
I just thought that part of it. Now, because Chol Hamoed is usually the lighter part of the chav. That you get to, you can't
okay. I'm going to remind you that I said, the reason I am currently taking an hour and a half to learn how to Chol Hamoed with you is to disavow you of the notion that you're allowed to do malacha on Chol Hamoed and tell you, no, you cannot.
You're very sorry.
The only reason why
you
go to Six Flags is because
that was literally the point of me giving that cheer, even though it was just a parenthetical comment nursing, was to tell you, by the way, No, you can't do malacha stam on Chol HaMoed unless you fit the heterim. And no, having someone and randomly building a house that can be built before or after,
yeah.
Right?
And you can't open up your clothes store on Yom Tov with a sale because people might miss out on the sale.
And you said, how could it be that you know Hasidim and communities
exactly?
They
what if
you plan to
do during sometime during the month and you end up doing on Chol HaMoed?
Usher. Yes. Literally what we just read. On Chol HaMoed, you have to stop him.
Oh, okay.
Yes, you actually can't, right?
We have to stop him. We knew in previous cases we said it.
Now, we'll get to whether there might... Now, there might be a solution. What might be the solution?
You told him to do it.
No, that wouldn't help you. Wouldn't help Marzanian.
You tell people that he's doing it. On his
own. Is that going to help you?
No,
because you're going to get everybody in the world?
That's true.
So what's
everyone in the city?
So what might solve it? Think about it. Lemaisa, what might solve it?
A sign that says this is...
better than that. Come on.
Donnie, say give an answer. No. He's making fun of us.
No. Good. So if it's something that's done in a warehouse, for sure, no one will see it. Great. What else?
Under a tarp?
What's a tarp?
If everybody... hires
this guy
by contract. No. If anybody who builds a house does it as contract work. Right? Because then there's no Marzayin because everybody knows. And we'll see when we get to the Psak. Right? Remember, the Gemara says that this is a problem where? By a Merchatz, because a Merchatz is never done by contract work.
Right?
Right? But the key to a lot of these sugyas is going to be what in our days is normally done through contract work and what is not. Right? Because if everybody does it through contract work, then it's not a problem because no one's going to look at it and say, Nahum hired Luke to build his 13th house on Shabbos. Right? They're going
to
say no.
Oh, we're up to
right? Well, now we're up to the 13th. Right? We already the 12th is already built. We built that last week. We're up to 13th.
Luke's bathhouse really brought in the money.
It does a good job.
There you go. Fine.
Use Luke to build your houses. Does a great job.
Good. Now I will just point out, right? Now I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I set this up with you last week, right? But remember last week I noted, and we've talked about this at different points, that in general things which are usher mishumart ayin are usher even bechadre chadarish, right? Are usher even in private, right? Remember, everyone wants to know what's the problem here. The assumption of this Gemara is that it's only usher when
people see it, but it's also if the action itself looks like you're doing
something. It's only usher if people are going to see it, which means that this violates the rule because our general rule is that anything which is usher mishumart ayin
can't be done in private.
Can't be done even if people won't see it. So why is the assumption of this Gemara?
It's only a problem on our side if people will see it. That's what I don't.
No.
No, there's
something
that looks
remember,
like
you're dying.
Right.
So why in our Gemara does the Gemara say no? It's only usher if people are going to see it. If in general we say anything that's usher because of false perception.
Because that's what makes it an honest sign is if people are going to see it.
This work you can't do in private. The examples we've
ignored me last week, right? Where I said, why is it that everything Marzayin is usher even because either we're worried that you'll end up doing it in public, or worried that really it's not private, someone really is looking in, or it's just a low plug, right? However you understand it, right? So why is it that in this case it is...
Wow. This was the
work
what?
It was the second type of Mars.
So one possibility is to do what the Rush says and the Taz says, which is that maybe, and this is other people say this, Latzvi says this, which is it's very simple. Maris Ayin on a Oraisa is usher even in private. Maris Ayin on Derabanan
is okay publicly.
Is mutter in private, but obviously usher in public.
Right.
And this is an Isser.
Derabanan,
because the question isn't whether a Jew is doing it. No. Why is it Derabanan?
Oh, because the Jew's not doing it.
Because a guy is doing it. Right? The only potential issue here, right, it's not the Jew doing it. Right? We talked about whether a Jew doing something in Chol HaMoed is Derais or Derabanan.
Mm-hmm.
But the issue here is not whether a Jew can do it, it's whether the Jew can have a guy do it. Right? So that's how the Rosh and the Taz say it. The other way is to distinguish based on what we said last time, which is that maybe there's a difference between Marat Ayin and Kshad, right? One of which is...
Mutter.
Right? One is... That Mara Dine has been worried that people are going to look and learn from what you're doing, and think that what you're doing, which is usher, is in fact mutter, which they're not going to do here. Here they're just going to be choshed you, meaning they're going to think you're doing something usher, right? And that's mutter in private.
And then the one is
right?
Where
the other is
look at you bad.
Right, the other one was when they look at her, are they going to say this is vaday usher?
Right.
Or are they going to say this might be usher?
Right.
Like right?
Walking,
that was a statement.
Like walking into McDonald's versus eating a cheeseburger.
Right. So here, if they look at it, are they going to say, oh, he's vaday violating something?
Here, no.
No, they're going to say, well, it might be because he might be doing contract work in which it's mutter, or he might be doing day work in which it's usher.
Right.
And in that case, we say maybe that's only chshad, right? Meaning someone will look at it and say maybe he's doing something usher, not he's definitely doing something usher.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, then
okay. Then it's okay.
Then it's mutter as long as no one will see it, right? Those were the two things that I outlined at the end of Shir last week.
People might be seeing it, though.
Right, but if the but even when they see it, right? If even when they see it, they won't be convinced you're doing something usher. They only will think maybe you're doing something usher. Right? The stechemed, or the stechemed says the difference is vaday versus suffik. I mean, if someone looks at what you're doing saying you're eating a cheeseburger, that's maris ayin. You can't do that even in private. If they look at it and say you might be hiring someone out on Shabbos in a problematic way, but I'm not sure, then it's still usher in public because you're going to cause people to think you're doing something usher.
But it's mutter in private.
But it's mutter in private because what's the worst that'll happen? They'll look at it and say,
he might be doing
maybe he's doing something usher. Right? They're not going to get to vaday. Right? So that's the case here, right? According to the stechemed, right? Meaning, if someone happened to end up outside the tchum for whatever reason, you didn't realize it was a Jew, right, who was camping out in the middle of the desert, right, and happened to see the work, and he runs into, you know, Luke, what's he going to say?
Do some contracting work or pet.
He's going to say, oh, maybe what Nachum is doing is mutter, and maybe it's not. I don't know. Right? And that type of thing, we're not worried, right, as long as it's done privately. Because what's the worst that'll happen?
Building your house is private?
In the middle of a desert, yes. Outside of the tchum? That was the Gemara's point.
That sounds pretty private to me.
Right? Shabbos Yom Tov, right? This is his, right? This is why it's his Nachum's 13th house, right? His first 11 and then the one we built last week are all either in the city or in vacation spots. But now he's like, what do I do that's new for my 13th house? It's getting boring. I want something that's where nobody goes, right? I want it in the middle of
you hope it's
whatever. Yeah.
You know, Madagascar.
I need one in the middle of the Sahara Desert. I don't know. Right?
Just one plane in and out. Only has one plane in and out.
Guys.
I'm sure there's still people out.
Guys. Okay. So according to Stechemed, things that are usher on that level, meaning worst comes to worst, someone will be there, will see it, and will say, oh, maybe Nachum's doing something wrong, so that's mutter as long as you can assume no one will see it.
Right.
But if it's something they'd look and say, oh, that's an isser, then that's usher in private. That's possibility one. The other one is, right, really where Moshe puts it, is are they going to look and say, oh, that is the type of thing that someone will look and say, oh, the Jew's doing it, I'm going to do it too. Right, that's usher even in private. If they're going to look and say, oh, Nachum's doing it, it must be that Nachum's a bad person, right? That's called chshad, and that, as long as it's in private, is fine. Right, those are the two ways that the Acharonim understand the difference.
Chshad is fine, the one where he copies is not.
Those are three differences. Three ways of explaining why these are mutter in private, right? One is that it's only Darabanan, and all Darabanans are mutter in private, right? That's Rush, the Taz, Nachos Tzvi, things like that, right? Two is that there's a difference between Maris Ayin and Chshad, which subdivides into two different explanations, right? Stechemet is, will a guy look at it and say, will a Jew look at it and say, this is Vadai Asur, or Safek Asur? If it's Vadai, then it's Asur even in private. If even when someone would see it, they would only say, I'm not sure whether it's Asur, right? Because I know that Nachum could do this in a Mutter way or Asur way. Then as long as it's private, it's permitted. That's possibility one. Possibility two is this the type of thing that someone will look and say, oh, Nachum's doing it, I'm going to do it, in which case it's usher even in private, or someone's going to look and say, Nachum's doing it, Nachum is a bad person, in which case it's mutter as long as it's in private, because that's the difference between Maris Ayin and Chshad. Right? Is it going to invite mimicry or not? Right? If it invites mimicry, it's Maris Ayin. If it doesn't invite mimicry, it's Chshad. Right? That's Ramosha's. Yeah?
Okay.
Good.
There are banana itself. Well, you said it was not allowed.
Wait, copying.
What's the difference between Rav Moshe and the Rush?
No, the Rush just says that anything which the concern will be about an Isser Darabanan is permitted in private.
Ah.
Right, Rush just said all Darabanans. There is no Maris Ayin in private for Darabanans. Only for Daraisas.
Oh, so, and then Rav Moshe comes to say this part there.
Rav Moshe and the Stechemet say, no, there's a fundamental difference. It's not Del Reis and Del Rabbanan.
Right.
It's Chshad versus Mar Sayin, which they define in two different ways. Right, Savig versus Vadai, or mimicry versus non-mimicry. Yes?
Yes.
Okay, fine. Anyways, back to the sugya. So now that was closed parentheses. Now, and that, but this is also discussed by the Kli Suplesi. Okay. So Rashi says that the sugya here is about Shabbos, right? And again, he says that as long as something is on contract work, and therefore fundamentally it is permitted, right? If it's within the, if it's where someone might see it, meaning within the tchum or within the tchum of any city, so then
it's usher.
Mm-hmm. Correct. But if it's outside, then it's usher, but a chol hamoed, it's...
Yeah, so, no, it's
usher. It's usher because people can travel.
Mm-hmm.
If it's outside, it's mutter except for chol hamoed.
Correct, because in chol hamoed, there's still an isser to do the work, but there's no isser to travel, and therefore, people might go on a joyride out to the middle of... What desert did we decide your house is in?
Kalamazoo Desert.
Sure. Oh. I don't know if that...
It doesn't.
It's his house. He can build it wherever he wants.
Sahara Desert. That's a nicer desert.
When you're the example with a person with 13 houses, you can put your houses wherever you want, okay? Next time we'll use you, and you can put it wherever you want, okay?
I'm going to give these weird places in history to...
And when it's your turn, you can decide where they go, okay? Right now, we're holding Nahum's imaginary houses in our head, right? How many imaginary houses do I need to keep, right? We're up to Nahum's 13th house, right? Remember, this all started because Nahum was obsessing over where to put his mezuzahs, right?
Yeah, I mean, think of Bedikha now for all 13 of these houses.
Good, that's your Shaila. Your Shaila is how do you do Bedikha on all your houses.
You said already, it doesn't make a difference if he doesn't go, if he only goes in one house.
At least of my worries.
No, for Bedikha, it's Chametz. No, you're going to be busy. You're going to be busy, man.
So is he. He has 13 houses right now.
But let me say he doesn't use any of these 12 houses. He only uses one of the houses.
I sleep in all the houses. I just own all the houses.
Yeah.
It's cool with your touring with a chocolate bar.
Oh, you good. Got it. Okay. The Rosh, on the other hand, says that this sugya has nothing to do with Shabbos at all. The Gemara in Moed Katan has to do solely with the context there, which was?
Avelus.
Good. Now, in Avelut, as you know, guys, you tell me, since you're doing Moed Katan, in Avelus, what is Aser?
Shave your hair.
And for our sugya, what's relevant?
To work.
To work, thank you. To work during Shiva, right? That is why people take off work during Shiva, right? And they stay home during Shiva because, not just because, you know, they want to, but because they have to, right? They must.
Unless it's
prevented loss. No. Yes. But, right, it's severe loss. Correct, right? But, you know, thankfully in 21st century America...
People understand when you...
I mean, most... It's also like most... There are some bylaws, right? You have to provide a certain amount of days, and I think in certain settings, I don't know exactly how many days you have to provide.
Especially
but
for like maternity leave, it's like 2 months or something.
That's it.
Okay. First of all, America has the shortest maternity leave in the entire world.
Really?
Yes, 6 weeks unpaid. Canada is like 11 months paid.
Whoa.
And
11 months.
Something like that.
Nicole has almost a year.
Nicole has 3 months paid.
Israel only has 3 months. Israel's 3 months. 14 weeks, maybe.
3 months paid, 3 months.
And then in Norway or something, they have like 455 days of like paternity leave or something.
Holy shit.
Yeah. America is the shortest in the entire world. It is the only country, like, there's only one other country, I think, in the entire world that doesn't have paid maternity leave.
Venezuela.
Insane.
Yes. So, anyways.
Paid 11 months. Paid maternity leave.
Forget how many months. 9 months, 11 months, something like that.
That's still insane.
Yeah.
Tell me the time it was like $12 for
quality. And it's like broken up. There's parental leave and maternity leave. Like something only the mother can take, something that either parent could take, blah, blah, blah. You can divide it however you want. Yes.
That's normally like I think, 6, maybe 10 months, maybe. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's probably a lot. You're in Europe, it's probably a lot. Right, the only reason Israel is as short as it is, right, three or 3.5 months, is because people have so many kids. Right, because the average number of kids is much higher. Right, as opposed to like in Europe, which is killing itself because they have like 1.0 kids. Right, like 1.4 or something.
Denmark's infomercial to like can't take your kids on a cruise, get a grandchild 9 months guaranteed. That's literally how they advertise
cruise. I know, I saw that. Yes, I saw
what
that.
Was this?
Yeah, yeah, there's certain countries in Europe that have realized they have such low birth rates that they're like, the government is like encouraging people to like, yeah, to like go on vacation and have babies, right? Because like otherwise they're going to disappear.
That is pretty funny.
That's part of why nobody cares. Like, so 455 days, if you have one kid, good, you get 1 year off and then we're done, right? In Israel, where the average birth rate is, I don't know, 5 or something, 4 or 5, I don't know.
And then you get to the Haredi communities, it's a little bit.
Well, you balance it out, because the Haredi community, the Arab community, the Dati Lumi community have very high birth rates. And the secular community has not as high birth rates as those communities.
Yes, yes.
You know, I was saying, look, like in the Dati Lumi world also, I don't know what the average is, but it's I think between 4 and 5.
Right.
But it's not whatever it is in the rest of, you know, what it is in Europe, 1.4, 1.6, or 0, I don't know.
All these points, I know it's an average. I'm just making.
What's this point?
Like point. I
go.
Is like, you know, point
go.
Five
go.
Is
go
like,
and read. Go and read the fandom Tolbooth and come back to me.
I'm making a joke. Like, you know, point five. Well, you only have half.
Did you read
child?
The fandom Tolbooth when you were like 5?
No.
Fandom Tolbooth was like, I read it in like elementary school.
Yeah, but we've really well established you're very different as opposed to us.
No, okay.
How
the Phantom Tollbooth is like a joke. I've mentioned it before. It's like
the Great Gatsby,
No, it's like it's a kid's book. It's a kid's book. I mean, it's a kid's chapter book. Like, it's not short,
right.
It's like, but it's a kid's book.
It's like
right?
A
and the whole. Whatever. But the whole point, like, the way that the humor in the book runs is that everything is taken literally, right? And it, you know. But one of them is that they run into this boy, right, who's like, you know,
half
a boy, because he's the, you know, he said every family has their 0.51, right? He
said this.
He's, yes, so I mentioned it before. Yeah, that's how averages work. No, that's not how averages work, right? Right? That's how they work in the world of the fandom Tollbooth,
yeah.
Right? When Milo and Tak meet the 0.51 boy or whatever he is, then in a Konami. Though that book must be from a long time ago. There was still like a 0.51. Now it's like the 0.1 boy, right? The 0.1 boy. And only in America.
You just see like feet moving.
You know, you know. I mean, I guess in Europe it would be the, you know.
Nothing.
No. Well, no. No, it would be, no, that's not true. That's not true. It would be like the 0.9 boy. It's just that they have less than 2. It's like one and a partial boy. What? It's true. They have like 1.9, 1.7, 1.6.
Eventually, all of them, according to those rules, would just be like halves. I
mean, there'll
be one kid. With
but
like,
it's okay. I'm glad you don't understand how averages work.
Every half a point.
No, eventually, if it gets to like the 0.9, that one person is going to be missing something of his body.
Right, in the world of Phantom Double,
yes.
But not in the world of actual world where you understand how averages work.
And how reality works.
But I'm glad that they taught you so much mathematics in school. Averages, wait, what does that mean? You mean there's half boys walking around? No, I don't mean that. Don't mean that. I mean,
Rabbi, you have a point about that, the European countries.
I know I have a point, thanks. There's a lot of research on this. It's not my point. I didn't come up with it.
Getting one of those ads.
What you say?
There's much research being done at this. Yes. There's like, yeah, there's been like a back and forth in the last few weeks, which are ridiculous to me. Of, is this research sexist? No, it is not. Like some people are like, oh, it is sex. This research is sexist because it implies that the world depends on whether or not women have children, and therefore it is treating women as objects. I'm like, no. This research is just implying the obvious, which is that if children aren't born, they won't be born. I don't know, like, this is not a particularly, I'm like,
what?
I was like, I don't know what I'm reading.
Where's the sexism in this?
No, there was a response there was a series of articles about this, and then there was a response by someone who was like, look, by a woman, she's like, look, I'm as much a feminist as the rest of you, but like, no, it is not sexist to say, she was like, survival is not sexist, I think was the name of the article. like, what are you talking about? The fact that like children must be born in order for people to for humanity to continue. This is basic biology. I don't know.
Isn't that not so complicated?
That's what society gets too much in life.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Whatever. It's on. It's whatever. It's just weird. Okay. I you know. Like, you know, certain things. Certain times, I just don't understand the opposition to something.
To research
that implies the obvious, which is that people must be reproducing in order for there to be more people.
If not, we're extinct.
Yeah, it was like, because they were like arguing against all these studies that, like, you know, oh my God, Jewish continuity is in trouble because Jews aren't having enough children. Because, like, in the non-Orthodox community, the average is, like, 1.7 or 1.4 or something like that. Right? Whatever it is. Right? I'm like, that's not sexist. That's literally just noting that, like, we all know this is, like, pretty simple. The Haredi community grows at a faster rate than the non-Haredi community, and the Dati Lami community grows at a faster rate than the non-Orthodox communities because, you know, look around Efrat, right? And when the average number of people on my street have, like, 5 or 6 kids, you know...
Yeah.
Yes, we can tell that the next generation will be larger. It's not like this is not meant to be offensive. It's meant to be statistical. Okay, fine. So yes, one of the I don't even know how we got there. The prohibition, whatever. But now you've learned statistics and the future of the world. Fine. It'll come to me how we got that to there.
1.6 children per year.
You said 1.6.
Ad for the children, and you talk about the population.
We talked about maternity leave because.
And then he said no
something. Way. Yeah, something. But anyways, not important. So the Rosh says that the issue here is avelos, is the prohibition of avelos, is working in avelos, right? So what does this tchum thing have to do with anything? What is this Shabbos yantiv, right? I mean, what made Rashi think that the issue at hand was working on Shabbos and yantiv and chalmoid and not avelos?
Because it mentions the tchum.
Because it mentioned tchum and Shabbos. That was the key. For Rashi, right?
Really?
Correct. So how is the Rosh going to explain, no, the sugya really is about avelos, which is what we were talking about.
Because it first talks, it doesn't mention anything.
So the Rosh says, you look at it. It's not a guessing game. Because just like by work on Shabbos and Yantif, where contract work that was taken place before Shabbos is mutter, contract work that happens before Avelos is mutter also. Right? So let's say... now we won't use anybody here because we're going to talk about Avelos. So now, Yankel, right? Yankel also has 15. Yankel has 15 houses. Yankel is ganz wealthy, right? He's a wealthy heir, but he hasn't even inherited yet. He already has 15 houses, right? So he has his worker.
It's very simple.
Not Luke, but Lucas, right? Who's building his 16th house, right? And then what happens? Rachman al Atzlan, Yankel's father, Itzela. Only Donnie understands why that's even a joke. Because Yankel is the like the Yiddish nickname for Yaakov, right? And Itzela is for Yitzchak, right? Okay, fine. So Itzela.
I got the Yankel thing.
So Itzela dies at the ripe old age of 180. Why 180?
Very nice.
You can't go past 120.
Because Yitzchak, people.
Oh.
God. Because Yitzchak. Avram 175, Sarah 127, Yitzchak 180, Yaakov 147. The ripe old age of 180. Baruch, right? He lived a very good life. 180 years.
Why not?
Yeah? Because he's Itzela. Right?
Because it's a law. Not any person can be 180.
He understood it because he got that I was using the Yiddish nickname.
When we talk, he's like, I'm going to live to 200. Like, no, you can't.
Why not? Okay, I don't understand. Where exactly is this rule from that one cannot live longer than Moshe Rabbeinu? It's a written rule.
Yeah, I thought it was.
No, it's not.
Never met him then.
No, it's nothing. It's nothing. If someone comes to me and says I'm 123 and shows me documents, my emunah will not be shaken. I'll be like, whoa! I'll be like, whoa! But not my emunah will not be shaken. Right? Okay? Unbelievable.
I had a great uncle. You people. He's 100 years old. So
there you go. Okay, guys. So let's continue. So he says, so the same thing's true in Avel, right? That if Yankala had hired Lucas to build his 16th house before him, before Itzela died at the ripe old age of 180. So then Itzela is allowed to allow Lucas to continue building his 16th house, which suddenly, since Itzela was a wealthy man, he has even more money to finish that house. Right now it's going to be quite, when he finishes, it'll be quite a nice house. Fine. But you're not allowed. What are you not allowed to do? Hire Lucas
while
Yankel is in Avelos.
Yes. Yeah,
right. So therefore, he says. Now the Rosh says. Therefore, if Lucas was building in the Tchum, then Itzla, then Yankel has to tell Lucas stop building. Why? During Avelos, because people will say, "Oy, it's a chutzpah." Right? Yeah, Yankel is sitting shiva, and he took time out of his shiva to pick up the phone and tell Lucas to build his 16th house. What? He couldn't wait to build his 16th house to mourn. No, that's the point. The Rosh says the halacha here, it's about Avelos. Why is Shabbos, Yontif, and Cholmoed relevant? Because if it's Shabbos and Yontif, right? And it's Michutz Latchum. Right? So then it's permitted to allow Lucas to continue building. We'll see it. Right? Now, it's true, Yontif ends Avelos, but Shabbos doesn't. Right? So he says, Aval chutz l'tchum, shari ho v'kiblu akodem avel. If it's outside the tchum and it's Shabbos, so it was a contract, and therefore it's mutter to let Lucas do whatever he wants. Right? Baruch Hashem, because...
Even in time of Avelos?
Yeah, because it's contract work, it's out of the
tchum. Yeah, I know.
Think about it. Do you really want to tell Yankel, oh, I'm so sorry, your father, Itzla, died. Before you go to the funeral, I want you to get on the phone and call all of your workers and tell them to stop working.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
No, because they depend on it, technically, on that one.
No, also, like, you think that's what you want? You want Yankel to be responsible to cancel his work?
No.
He just says, do whatever you want, just let it go.
Yeah.
So he's saying, as long as it's Michutz L'Tchum,
outside the Tchum, yeah.
Right? So on Shabbos and Yontif, just let him go. Right? Just let him do what he wants. Right? And no one's there, so it's fine. So he says, "V'kasha, my nakan chol moed." Listen, chol mamish. The problem is, according to this analysis, the issue has nothing to do with chol moed. It has to do with what? Shabbos versus not Shabbos.
Right.
Meaning, it's not about chol hamoed. It's about chol. Right. Meaning, on any given Wednesday, if Yankel is in shiva, he also can't have Lucas working for him outside the tchum.
So then you would have to call and have him.
So why does the Gemara say, yes, you'd have to call and stop him? But that wasn't my question. My question was, right, the Rosh asked, but wait a second, why does the Gemara say that the axis upon which this hangs is Shabbos Yontif versus Chol Moed? It should be Shabbos versus not Shabbos, because this is true not in Chol Moed. It's true on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. No?
Meaning,
the issue here isn't Chol Moed. The issue is, on Shabbos, you can allow him to work. On Sunday, you can't. At any week.
Why?
Because it's Avelos. And on Sunday, people can drive, and we'll see that Lucas is working for Yankel. And therefore, the issue isn't Chol Moed. The issue is not Shabbos.
Mm-hmm.
So why does the Gemara say it's Shabbos, Yontif versus Chol Moed, which indicates who's right?
Rashi.
Right? That's the Rashi's question. Is doesn't the fact that the Gemara distinguishes not between Shabbos and not Shabbos, but between Shabbos and Chol Hamoed, indicate that the issue here is having non-Jews work for you on Shabbos? Meaning it's the case of Nachum and his 13th house, not Yankel in shiva with his 15th house. Right? It's Nachum and Luke and not Yankel and Lucas.
I mean, in shiva,
right?
7 days long, so you only cover for one day with shiva.
So he says, what's the easiest way of doing this? Lav Dafka. You're right. So he says, V'yesh Lomar. Died in Nakash Shabbos as Yom Tov Meikar. Nakanami was over Shalchalamoi. So for Chalamoi, you're right. But since we started off talking about Shabbos and Yontif, so we end talking with Chol Moed. But you're right, it doesn't mean Chol Moed, it means Chol. Now there is the slight problem in this, which, you know, we won't really get into, which is, what is the bigger kasha on this also, yeah? That Chol Moed, the Yontif does what to Avelos?
It
cancels it, right? Right, so this should be problematic. Okay, fine. So you have to come up with a case, right? You have to come up with a case where it hasn't finished it, right? Like... right, where someone dies during Chol Moed or something.
How would it wouldn't be really potter in any case if it's Chol. Shabbat seven, other than Chol HaMoed, because Shabbat 7 days, Shabbat, you're exempt on Shabbat, but then after the Shabbat, you have to... Like,
what are you talking about?
You said Shabbat you're allowed, he'd be allowed.
Correct.
Available, but
allowed. Okay, well, I don't know what exemption was there. Allowed. And during the week, you would be not be allowed.
Right. So that means you're only covered for 1 day. Shabbat is 7 days.
Correct. You're only covered for Shabbat.
So
correct.
After Shabbat, he still has to call and cancel the...
Correct. Correct. Or have his kids call or somebody. Okay.
I guess
listen,
the last day was
listen,
Shabbat,
guys,
then.
After Me'ev Esrim, or Me'ev Shmonim for your parents, right? When they've lived, the, you know, like it's a lot to 180, right? So you will all be, you know, the ripe young age of whatever, 150. I don't know how much older your parents are than you, right?
Okay.
I don't know how old your parents were when you were born. I don't know.
I think my parents were in their 30s.
Fine, so 140-something, okay? When you're 140-something and you have to sit Shiva for the first time, right? Your kids, who will be in, you know, 115, whatever, or your whatever, will, you know, they won't be sitting Shiva, so they'll take care of some of the practical things, right? So that's what will happen there also. You know, you and your ripe young age of 145, right, will be sitting Shiva, and your kids at the ripe young age of 120, whatever, will say, hey, you know, you just worry about sitting Shiva, and we'll make sure that Lucas doesn't build your 15 house, right?
It's a lot of generations there. 180, 150.
With my tickle still on.
130.
I'm covering my entire head.
Again, glad you're all involved in this complicated mathematics here.
I didn't even bother trying to figure out the 70, years we're going to put on me and my kids.
50.
Just try.
30. That's a lot of generations there.
Yes, you'll have plenty of great, 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 great grandchildren by that point. I'm wonderful. Okay. It's okay if you guys are, you know, 130. You guys are 100. Wait, what if you say you're 150? So you're 150, so whatever, so I'm 160-ish, you know.
I'm sorry, the minimum is 4 in families. Because you name after your parents and your wife's parents. So you don't want to make the other mad. You don't want to make your wife mad that you only named after your parents. So that's why I have another 2.
Or you just do 1 and 1.
Yeah. Let's say you have 2 boys. What about the girls?
Then you do 1 and 1.
1 and, yeah.
So if you have 2 girls, you do one.
Okay.
You don't need to do all 3.
Fine. That's answer 1 of the Rosh. He says, Inami, Nakat Chol Shamoi, the Rabusa. He says, or it's a Rabusa. It's telling you, look. Obviously, on Chol it's Aser. But even on Chol HaMoed, you might say, look, on Chol HaMoed, it's true people travel, but they go to the circus or Six Flags. They don't go to Sahara Desert, right? They're not going to see that you're building property, right? Kamash Malan, that even so, we're worried that there is the nutcase who says, you know, I don't like going to Six Flags, I'd rather go to the Sahara Desert, and Pete Dome was from the Sahara Desert, and there is...
I really enjoy
dying, right? Fine. Okay. Anyways, so that is... Got it. Guys, so that is Gemara number 1. Right? Or the Gemara that we hadn't seen yet, or you had seen in Bikias, but not in Eon. Okay? Now, I probably should have given this to you at the beginning, because this will be so helpful, guys. But if you look at in the middle of page 2, right, here are some terms that should help you that we've talked about. But look, here it is all on paper for you. Okay? So what are all the possible ways we can get someone to work for you? One is called Skirio, right, which is a hourly or daily employee, right? That is the most problematic, right? Right, then there's Chirut Asek, which is you are, right, where what they call, which is a person in the context of this discussion on Jew pays the owner of a business, in the context of this discussion on Jew, for the right to run the business as his own and to receive the profits in exchange for a fee that was established in advance, essentially a franchise, right? Meaning I don't really own it, but I get all the profits except for the set profit I have to set to the franchise, okay? Assuming you have a franchise like that. I don't know, franchise owners. Do franchises pay percentage? I don't think so, right?
I thought it was...
I think it depends on the franchise. Okay, it's a franchise where the deal is he gets to have the name whatever, right? And he pays a set amount per year to the parent company, right? But fundamentally, he owns the company, right? He owns his store, his Starbucks, Right, and he pays whatever X number of.
I have a question. What do you do if it's a, like, law firm, like people put their names on the wall?
One second. We're just get these out. 1 second.
Okay.
That's two. The third is kablonos, which is a task worker. Right, I pay you to finish this job. Yeah, we've talked about this already.
Yep.
And the fourth that we have talked about is arisud. What's arisud?
Sharecropper.
Sharecropper. Good. And now what that means is we are who's the owner?
You are
the Jew.
The Jew is,
but the non-Jew, he doesn't get paid a salary. He gets paid a percentage, which means that even though he's not the owner,
he sells, technically,
he gets a percentage of what he sells.
Yeah.
And therefore, even though he doesn't own it, he does have a vested interest in. In the success, meaning not just meaning it needs, right? He has a vested interest in how much work happens and how much success there is. Yes, right. That, which is why it's more makil, because, as we've seen in our sugya, because in Aris, even though the Jew is the owner, the non-Jew is
still doing it for himself.
Is still working for himself, because even if he only gets 20%, right? There's a difference between 20% of 1 million and 20% of 2 million, right? How much difference is there?
What are the two numbers, please?
1 million and 2 million. 20% of 1 million.
200% more. It's double.
Good. How much money is that?
400,000. 1 million and 2 million. It's
20% of 1 million.
20% of 1 million. That's 200,000.
Good. So the difference is
$200,000.
Thank you. The difference is $200,000, and therefore, yes, the Jew may either make 800,000 or 1.6 million, right? So you might say, oh, isn't the non-Jew doing it for the Jew? And the answer is
no.
He wants his $400,000 payout. He doesn't, he doesn't really care, right? He doesn't really care whether the Jew makes 1 million, 1.6, right? 800,000, 1 million, 1.6 million, 2 million. He doesn't care. If he walks away with 400,000 instead of 200,000, he's happy.
The non-Jew, you mean?
Yes. Right? That's the Aros, right? That's a sharecropper. Yes? Okay, good. Now, let us return.
The Jew does get the big percentage of the field.
What?
The Jew does get the big percentage.
A bigger percentage in Hanami. But it still is more makil, because the non-Jew, the reason he's working harder is not so that, right, even though it's true that the Jew makes 80%, he's not working so the Jew makes another 80%, right, makes
another
80% of 2 million. He's doing it so he makes 20% of 2 million.
Yeah.
Right, and therefore, even though it's true that the Jew makes 80% and he's the owner,
he doesn't really care. He just cares his benefit.
The reason an Aris is more makil is because the Aris is like, right, again, how makel is what we're going to see in our sugya. Good? So now let's return to our sugya. So, this is how we got into all of this. Yes? Tanya. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Look inside. Tanya, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Omer. Lo yaskir adam merchatzao lo'oveid kochavim ibnation ikra'al shmo. You are not allowed to rent out your bathhouse. Right? Nachum spa to Luke. Because everyone knows it's Nachum spa. Right? And not, Nachum has made his fortune by realizing that there are Jews who the week before and after Pesach either need to relax before Pesach or need to unwind after Pesach, and he specializes in having spas for Jews to unwind in advance of and after Pesach cleaning.
After their vacation for Pesach.
Good. Right. After they go to the hotel that Shimon works in. Right. Oh, good. Good. Fine. But everyone knows it is Nachum Spa. Right? And therefore, you can't leave it open on Shabbos, because even if Nachum has said, you know what, Luke, take over the business model. Right? Everyone will come in and say, oh, Nachum got a new manager. They won't say, Nachum got a new
owner.
Or a new franchise owner, whatever. They'll say, this is, right, Nachum's. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Good. And therefore they're going to look and say, oh, well, Goy is working on behalf of Nachum on Shabbos and Yontif. But the Gemara says, but what if it's his field, not his spa? Shari. He's allowed to share crop it out. Why?
Because everyone will know.
My time, huh? Arisusa COVID. Because we say, look, if Nahum says to Luke, listen, Luke, you know, my 15th house, I know you thought that it was because I needed a new place to live, But, you know, honestly, I don't. As in my 13th house. I know you thought that you were building my 13th house because I need another place to live because, you know, I was getting bored of my 12 houses. It's not true. I think that, you know, this is the next big thing in real estate and I want to sell it out. And, you know, Luke, you've been so good to me over the years. Instead of me just paying you, you know, a flat 100 grand to build the house, right? How about you take 10% of how much we sell this house for? Yeah?
No.
Right? Well, actually, well, let's leave a house for a moment. Let's say it's not a house. This is the vineyard next to the house. Fine? Right, because we'll see. There's a difference between
Provence,
house...
Rabbi?
What?
In Provence, Rabbi?
In Provence. Great, okay? So the Gemara says, it's mutter, because now Luke is going to say, I want this vineyard to be as nice as possible, because Nachum just offered me 20%. And if it's $1 million, then I'm walking away with $200,000. If it's $2 million, I'm walking away with $400,000. Right? So the Gemara says, but wait a second. According to that logic, can't Nachum just say, Luke, listen, I like you. Instead of me paying you for the spa, to work at the spa, why don't you take 20% of the profits of the spa? Right?
Because one was normally done.
So why shouldn't that be mutter? The Gemara says, you're right. If the only issue was the fundamental issue, which is Luke working for Nachum or working for himself? So then, is there any difference between the vineyard or the spa?
Nope.
No, what's the difference? Marisayan, namely. Merchatz Ami Amrusa Arizagavid, Arisa de Merchatz, love the Inche, because that's not normal.
Merchatz is not normally rented out.
Right, since it's not normally, no, it's not normally sharecropped out. It's normally rented, not sharecropped. Right, meaning the type of relationship that normally happens in spas or merchatz, right? We'll call the merchatz a spa for now, right? Is day workers, right? Is that Nachum hired his manager Luke, right? Rather than Nachum said, Luke, here, take 20%, as opposed to vineyards, where it's totally normal because, and it makes sense because why do you think people did this? Right, my guess. Right, why do you think people did this? Why wasn't it normal to hire a sharecropper for a spa or a hotel?
Because they didn't make a lot of money.
Well, no, probably because it doesn't matter how invested he is in it. But think about it, right? Think about it, right? In the end of the day, if you own this spa and you do all the advertising, right? As long as, right? Sure. If Luke is a really nice manager, so maybe you'll get good reviews and more people will come to your spa, right? And if he's not a good manager, so maybe you'll get a few less people, right? But in the end of the day, right, how much will Luke's investment in the work, right, change your profits? Not so much. And therefore, it makes more sense for Nachum to hire Luke as his manager than to offer him a percentage of the profits, because it's not going to motivate Luke that much. Right? Mitzad Sheni. What about a vineyard? Right?
The harder
it's a big difference. Right? Because if you tell Luke, look, I'll pay you $50,000 to run my vineyard for the year. Right? So he'll be like, look, you know, I'll go out when it's nice, if the weather's too bad, so I'll do the minimum that I need to, but I'm not going to work extra hard. But if he says, Luke, I'll give you 20% of the profits, suddenly, you know, it's snowing, and...
You'll see Luke outside.
You'll see Luke outside saying, oh, it's snowing, now's the time to pick grapes and make ice wine and sell it for a fortune, right? You know, if he's not, because, you know, he will make a heck of a lot of profit off that. You're like, what's ice wine?
No, I know.
I've described this to you already. Because
the sugar and the...
Correct, good. But ice wine sells for a fortune, right? For a third the size of the bottle, right? It sells for like, again, like, you know, at the winery I went to in Niagara, the red ice wine in a bottle, which is one third the size of a regular bottle, goes for $100,
whoa,
right? There's a big difference in the profit margin there.
Freeze it, because it makes it so great.
No, that's iced wine, not ice wine. Ice wine is you pick it frozen off the tree. Yes, there's a difference. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Ice and iced wine. In fact, Nachum remembers that because we talked about it. Nachum's like, maybe I remember it. Nachum's like, I remember the tangents better than... Yeah. That's always life. That's always life. You remember tangents better. It's not a criticism. It's just true.
Yeah.
Everyone does that. Okay, I told you. That's why when Urbane said if there was something he wanted people to remember, he said it's a tangent, not the main cheer. They'll forget everything in cheer, but they'll remember the tangent.
Don't tell us to remember our tangents because there's not going to be anything Gamar related.
That's not true. There are plenty of tangents that we've done that probably you will remember more.
No, it was a sheer, not when we
Trust me. All the tangents we did in the Nagia sheer will make you remember that sheer.
Yeah, but you won't go more to the beach.
Yeah, see? That wasn't the tangent, but it started the tangent. Okay, good. Yes, the tangent that you have to that you will pay in Shemayim for this. Good. Okay, good. Good. Okay.
Whoa, I'm the one who said it to myself. I don't need you to give me a...
Okay, so right... So right, so again, so the 2 points that come out of this is that Arisut fundamentally solves the Melacha done by a goy for a Jew on Shabbos problem. Right, because even though, yes, Luke is Nahum's worker, because the nature of the arrangement by Arisut, by sharecropping, is that the non-Jew gets a percentage, and therefore the reason he's out there in the freezing cold, right, picking ice wine, right, grapes for ice wine, is not because he's going to get paid more by Nachum, but because he's going to make more money, right?
Yeah, that'd be allowed.
That's mutter, even though he's just a worker in the end of the day, but because the nature of the arrangement is that Nachum, right, by the way, who the fundamental logic here, who uses it nowadays?
The ice wine?
Not the ice wine, but the logic that people are more invested in something that they have, that they get percentages of. Everybody, right? You ever heard of, right? Why is it that high-tech companies offer their employees not just salaries, but stock options?
No, you mean like shareholders.
No, but I don't want to talk about shareholders. I want to talk about why do companies give their employees
because they want to
the opportunity to be a shareholder,
stock
right? Stock options.
Because better than they do better.
Exactly, right? Because that if you are both an employee and a shareholder, right, even if it's a little bit, right, even if you have one thousandth of a percent, right, but 1,000th of a percent,
so
right, which is 1,000th of a percent is 100,000th of the company, right? If the company is worth $1 trillion, right, you work for Amazon, right, 100,000th of $1 trillion.
What?
Bro's not close to anything because I gave you round, nice numbers. Right, okay. Look at this. Look, give me a pencil. This is like very easy math, right? Mm-hmm. A trillion is one with how many zeros after it?
9.
It's 12, thank you.
Oh, I was right.
Right,
time.
12.
So the
right, and
oh, billion is 9.
Right, and 1,000th of a percent is 1 in 100,000. Mm-hmm. Right, that means, you remember this? You just knock out those number of zeros.
Those
five right, you now got 5 zeros.
You did also the same trick.
Oh, there you go, which means it's 1 with 7 zeros, which is known in other language as?
1 billion.
7,000 is what? As this is?
10 million?
No way. Ah, you said, okay, like that. Yeah, 10 million.
It's a lot of money, right? Is that right? Did I do that right? Right? Yeah, that should be 10 million. It's a lot of money, right? Right? The point is, even if it's 100,000, you know, or 1 millionth of a trillion, it's a lot of money. Right? And therefore, it's good to give stock options to your employees, right? That's the logic of Arisut, right? I think. The logic of Arisut is instead of paying you a salary, I'm paying you in stock options, right? And therefore, when you work, you're working
for you.
Still not the best stock.
Are you out of your mind? It's a great payment method.
No salary, nothing. You're going to work off of stock.
Depends how much stock they give you, what the company is.
Okay. It's true. If you're working for Amazon and you have 2 shares in Amazon,
Apple,
that's already $3,000
like
right there.
Well, that's not a lot of money for a whole year, but if you have... Listen.
No,
if they... Nahum loves...
If you shared in Bitcoin before it became the surplus it is...
Okay, our research we're talking about, right? We're talking about 20, a third, or half, right? Let's just say a third, right? He says, Luke, I like you. Instead of giving you a salary, I'm giving you a third of Amazon. What would you say?
That's
no!
insane.
Are you kidding? Yeah, stock options can be a really good option there.
A third is a lot of money for
it's
Amazon.
A lot of money, man.
A third, I thought like a million.
It's more than Jeff Bezos has in it, okay?
Most stocks when you do, when you go to the stock market, you're just buying only like a million.
Isn't Jeff
of a stock?
Bezos, the CEO of Amazon, yes.
Yeah. He has less than a third of the stock.
He has. Well, isn't Amazon worth $1 trillion and he's worth $150 billion?
Doesn't he own half?
I don't know how much he owns.
Does his wife
know?
No, he wants to divorce his wife, so it doesn't matter.
It does matter. I don't care about his private life. Right? My point is that
he
stock options.
$150 billion.
You know? My point. I don't know how much he owns. My point is that a resuit is basically, in modern terms, an employee paid in stock options exclusively. Which means that even though, yes, he's only an employee, right?
He's doing the work for himself.
Okay, it's not really stock options. If you actually give him a share, then he's an owner, right? Which is not really what it is. Let's say it's the dividends of the equivalent, let's say. Right? Fine. I mean,
a child is even.
If he's a shareholder, he'd be an owner, and that would be back to last week, right? Partners, right? This is not that. It's saying, I'll give you the equivalent of, right? A shares, right? X number of shares, right? Meaning I'll pay you from my own pocket X number of shares, right? You're not the owner, fine. But the point is, that's a really good thing to do, right? If someone says, look, I will pay you by percentage of profit, that is a good motivator. And therefore, even though he's only an employee, in the end of the day, he's working harder on Shabbos to increase his own share.
Don't they say that they did the same thing by Waze? They asked the employees to buy stocks in Waze or something in Waze?
Probably. Okay, guys. So what we're going to do now, remember that Tosos I gave you that you're all scared of?
Yep.
Hey, we're back to that Tosos now. Right? So, guys, tomorrow...
I was really sorry.
We'll continue, not tomorrow, but in Tuesday.